Looking at scripture and passage of scripture that would be important for fathers. Well, you can start for the Heavenly Father. You can start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation. Amen. Because it's a love letter. God wrote us a love letter to all people, to His children, and it shows how much He loves us. But anyhow, happy Father's Day. Today is Father's Day. You know, I can always say it's a special day. Amen. I've been saying that all year, right? Seems like every Sunday is something special about being in God's house. But this is a special day as we honor some men in the lives who've made an impact on us. When you think about it, how we talked about the percentage of men who lead their families to church, but men in general make an impact on their families. The fathers make an impact, dads make an impact, and think about it, you want that to be a positive impact, amen? We want to invest in our family. So when I was young, I wanted to grow up and be just like my dad. How about y'all? Not the ladies, I'm sure. But think about it. I wanted to be just like my dad. When I was young, I thought he had all the answers, or at least he told me that he did. All right. Y'all know that dad knows everything? Amen. All right. All right, well, while I did learn a lot from my dad and my father about being a dad, there's some things that I had to learn on my own, because just like being a Christian, being a father is a continual learning process. There's never a stop to that. You're continually learning, and you're continually looking at things that you might want to do different the next time. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a continual learning process. The role of a father is a calling to serve the family. It's not a calling to just head up the family. It's a calling to serve the family, to be there, to be protector of that family, to be provider of that family. It's a call to serve the family. It has its challenges. It has its difficulties, just like anything else. But hands down, being a father is one of the most important roles in the family. It's very important. It's one of the important roles for a man to fulfill. Now, just like mothers and just like some things we talked about with mothers, fathers have a lot of different type of characteristics. Amen? Man, I'm working hard up here. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but anyhow. So let's just say, they're biological fathers. There's stand-in fathers, there's bonus fathers, there's investing fathers, there's mentoring fathers, and there's other types of fathers who just stand in the gap to fill the place where a father should be. Because let me tell you something, our world's full of struggle. A lot of times there's gaps where fathers should be and they're not there, amen? I mean, there's times when other men need to step in and fill that gap, and they do that without any reservation. So if you were to make a list of the characteristics of a father, man, we talk about characteristics. I have emphasized characteristics about God. I emphasized characteristics about Jesus. We emphasize all the characteristics of the prominent things in the Bible that we talk about. And we did this on Mother's Day, some of the characteristics of mothers. But work with me, if you would, on a few things about the father. I suspect the list. This might include some characteristic traits like this. Unlimited knowledge. You agree? Dad knows something about everything. Do you know what I mean? He knows a little bit about everything. Dad knows something about everything. A vast amount of wisdom, whether it's worldly wisdom or even some godly wisdom. Here's one. The grill master. And Pine Hill, we got a lot of those, don't we? Man, we got some men who can step in and do some grilling. Amen? Why are we not having Third Sunday today? I'm not sure. Who needs a map or a GPS? I've got this. Y'all ever heard that? Who needs a map? Before GPS, we didn't even need a map. Dad's got this. I know the way. I know a shortcut. It might be the bumpiest road in the county, but I know a shortcut, all right? Lack of ability to match clothes. Y'all see? Just give me a pair of jeans. That's what I need, all right? Can't match it up, but give me a pair of jeans, because that color shirt would go with anything. It doesn't have to match my eye color, all right? Dry humor or corny jokes? No? There's a wrong way, and then there's the father's way, amen? There was even, when I was a kid, and you got to be at least 50 to recognize this one, but there was a TV show that was called Father Knows Best. Y'all remember that? Because he knew everything. He knew what was right for the whole family. He knew what was right for everybody. Father knows best. There's all kinds of ways to do it, but the father knows best. However, now listen up. Two of the most prominent characteristics of any father is protection and love. So when you think about it, those are two of the most key characteristics that a father can display. He is the protector of the family. He is to protect his children, and he is to love them unconditionally. Amen? You think about those things and those characteristics of the Father. And then as we work through this passage of Scripture talking about an earthly Father, it is a replica of what our Heavenly Father does for us. Jesus is going to talk to us about a parable this morning, and we're going to look at that. But it's the same thing. This morning we're going to open up God's Word and look at a passage of Scripture that gives us a clear description of the type of love that our Heavenly Father has for His children. It's the same type of love that earthly fathers should have for their children. Now, when you look at Scripture, you could have found a lot of different passages of Scripture. And this is a story that stands out as more being the story of the prodigal son, but the Father has a key role and a key part in this passage of Scripture. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. So if you are able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning? Starting in Luke chapter 15, we'll be in verses 20 and 20 through 20 to 24, Luke 15. So here's the parable Jesus is talking about, and we're picking up halfway through the parable. He says this, "So he got up and went to his father, but while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father told his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they begin to celebrate." Pray with me, please. Father God, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. Father, I ask that you cleanse me of every sin, cleanse me of every impurity. Father, I ask that you hide your servant behind the cross and allow me to deliver your message to your people. These things I ask in your son's precious and holy name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is a parable that begins, if you want to go back and read several verses before that, I want to share a few things with you about it. But in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is addressing the accusations that the scribes and the Pharisees had made against him about eating with sinners, about fellowshipping with sinners, about going into their presence. It said in Luke 15:2, "And the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Let me tell you something, that's what he's instilled upon us, amen? To welcome them and eat with them, to bring them, to show them the unconditional love, to tell them about Jesus and what he's done for them. That's where he went. Jesus went to where they were to get them. He didn't wait for them to come to the church. He went out into the area to get them. He didn't wait for them. He shared with them. He went looking for them. The Gospel of Luke records three specific events in chapter 15 where Jesus gives parables about things that are lost. He talks earlier in the passage, in the chapter 15, about a lost sheep and the lost sheep and how he would go after the sheep. He talks about the lost coin. And in this particular passage of Scripture, he's talking about the prodigal son. But the father is so important in this passage of Scripture. Let me tell you something. You can break this parable down. It has three different sections. It talks about the son. It talks about the father. And it goes on to talk about the siblings who are disgruntled about the way the father treated the lost son who was dead and now alive. There's a lot of things that to be uncovered in this passage of Scripture. But in this particular passage, Jesus describes a young man who asked his father to give him his share of his inheritance. Inheritance is what you got to be looking for in this passage of Scripture. When we look at that, the definition of inheritance is something or something that someone gives someone else as a something of value after they are passed away, after they are dead, after they have gone on to be with the Father. So when you look at this passage of Scripture, this young man is asking his father to give him something that should have rightfully been given to him after the father had passed away. So you can essentially think that this young man is looking at his dad and said, "Hey, basically, Dad, you're dead to me. I want you to go ahead and give me what's rightfully mine because your value to me is no longer there." when you think about it and you go look at it, see, that's exactly what it looks like. The son in this parable that Jesus is describing was tired of working in the family business. When you think about it, the father was a wealthy man. He had lots of property. He had lots of material possessions. He probably had a lot of livestock and a lot of animals and things. And the son was working on the family business, probably the family farm. Man, it's hard business sometimes and hard work, long hours, smelly issues. Might have been cleaning out some stalls and things like that. And he was about tired of that. There's got to be a better life. You think about that? Man, there's got to be a better life. Who leads someone away from a quality life? Who leads someone away from things that are of the Father's love is being led by what? Just talk to me. We talked about last 2 weeks. Starts with an F. Second letter is L. E. Y'all working with me? Any E? Flesh. Let's look at that this morning. Let's look at that. He wanted to see what it was like to live it up a little, to experience the things that the world has to offer. He wanted to see what the world had to offer. He wanted to see some of the excitement in the world. He wanted to see what it was like to have material possessions and to be able to live it up a little bit. He was, it'd be easier to say he was being led by the flesh. This story is told of a young man's father. He went ahead and gave it to him. I mean, he asked for it. He wanted it. The father just went ahead and gave it to him because the father's love for him. He gave him his portion of the inheritance. And this young man, it says in the story that he went off and he squandered every single bit of it. That he wasted every bit of it. He blew it off. It was all gone. 100% of his possessions, 100% of his inheritance that he had, he wasted it. He spent it. He blew it all away. He had nothing. It shows in the scripture that he ended up face down in the slums, in the dirt, eating the leftover pods that the pigs wouldn't even eat. He was on the bottom of the barrel. Amen. You don't get much lower than that. This man was face down. And you talk about sometimes we have to get face down before we turn over and reach up to heaven, right? Sometimes we got to get at the lowest point in our life where we say, Lord, take the wheel. I've done it all I can do. I've tried to do it on my own, but I need you to take the wheel. This young man was at the bottom. He was desperate just to survive. The story further tells that he had a change of attitude. And he was wanting to go back to the father. Well, let me tell you something. You know, I'll go back to my dad because maybe he'll have some mercy on me. I'm not worthy to be his son, but maybe he'll hire me to be one of his servants. Maybe I can serve in a different capacity because serving for my father would be better than what I'm having to do now. Man, it's a tough what I'm going through now. He says he wanted to go back in this parable in Luke 15. We see the father displaying genuine love that he has for children. The genuine love he has for it's the same kind of love that our Heavenly Father displays when his children return to him. When God the Father is got his hands reaching out for you. When he's got his hands reaching out for each of us. It's the same way. The way the son had acted had disgraced the family. Man, it was terrible to assume and to basically say, Dad, you're dead to me. I want to go on my own. He had disgraced the family name, but the father never quit looking for the return of his son. He was watching for him. When he came over the hill, when he came over the crest of that hill, the dad saw him. It wasn't like he snuck up on him. It wasn't like somebody said, here comes your son who's just left you. Man, the dad was looking the whole time for that. Not only did the father stop what he was doing, but he ran to welcome his son back. The Bible says he also made a big deal about the son's return, and he told them to prepare a feast. We're going to celebrate because my son has come back. He invited the entire village, not just his family, not just his servants. He wanted every single person in that village to know how much he loved his son, how much he had come back, and we're going to celebrate his return. Look at some things here. The father never did allow his son to finish explaining what he wanted to tell him. He never did allow the son to finish his remorse about how sorry he was about what he'd done. This father cut him off right in the tracks. He stopped him right in his tracks. He forgave him for what he had been doing. And Jesus said he ordered a celebration. You think about it. I was talking with Dr. Kinsel through email over the last 2 days. And I made the statement that we need to go and celebrate for your 1 year anniversary from your surgery. Because that was a difficult time. When you think about it, Dr. Kinsel's last summer was very difficult. He didn't know if he was going to survive. It was hard on him. He couldn't speak for a long period of time. It was so depressing for him. Patty and I went to Gainesville to see him, and he didn't want to see us because of how bad it was for him. We talked to Miss Kay, but we couldn't get in to see him because he was so low. Didn't get much slower. But you're talking about 1 year later, and he's back in the pulpit preaching God's word. Amen. You think about it, that's how low he was. But I told him we need to celebrate that. And his reply to me is, we'll celebrate just about anything, so just let me know. He wanted to celebrate my graduation. I wanted to celebrate his one-year anniversary. But we know that this father's response for his son's return was very important. It shows us the attitude that God the Father has for us toward the children when we return to him. The Bible says that God is rich in his mercy, he's rich in his grace, and he's great in the love that he has toward his children. Y'all know what that means? He's rich in his mercy. It means there's no limit to the amount of mercy that he has. There's no limit to the amount of grace that he has. He is great in his love. There's no limit to the amount of love that he has for his children. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered away from him. That's what we're talking about. And that's what this talks about, is this young man had wandered a long way away from his dad, a long way away from his father. And he said, I've sinned against heaven, which means he's wandered a long way from the heavenly father as well. But he had repentance. He had a change of heart. All of this love and mercy and grace is possible because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. It all centers around the cross and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Let me tell you something. No matter what people might tell you, no matter what the world might tell you, we're not saved by God's love. Because let me tell you something. John 3:16 says God loved the world, the whole world. He didn't just love a certain amount of people. God didn't just love the people that came to know Jesus Christ. God loves the whole world because we were all made in his image. There's no doubt about that. It doesn't say we're not saved by the love of God because he loves us all. John 3:16 reveals to us that God loves the whole world so much that he wants to save the whole world. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that grace is that love that we had that pays the price. It paid that sin debt for us. During this time in history, and I was talking to Ray about this morning, but during this time in history, old men didn't run. Y'all know why old men don't run? It hurts to run. Man, it hurts to run when you're old, amen? Can't do it like you used to. There's a lot of pain involved in running when you're old. I'm not saying old as in, you know, who got the highest blueberry bush, okay? I'm talking about it hurts when you get older to run. And then the thing is, it wasn't dignified. In this particular time, in this century, it wasn't dignified for men to run. They didn't run, they walked. But when you look at this passage of scripture, when this father saw his son coming, he didn't wait for him to get to him. He ran to meet him. He went out to meet him. Let me tell you something, when you start toward Jesus, he'll meet you right where you are. That's the thing is, I've always told people, when you just reach up as high as you can reach, God will reach down the rest of the way, amen? He'll come right to you when you need him. They didn't run at this point. Nothing else mattered to this father. So why did the father act in such a way? Let me tell you something. Obvious reason is the amount of love that he had for his son, his desire to show all people how much he loved him. Man, I want to show them how much I love my children. I want people to know how much I love my children. But there's something else involved. Look at this. This son had brought disgrace on the family in the village. And if you go back into Old Testament, you look in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, this son should have been stoned to death for what he did to this family. He would have been stoned by the men of the village when he came back. The first thing they would have done was stoned him to death because of the shame and the way he treated his family and his father. The way that he had done and mistreated them. Because of the love that the father has for his children, the father steps in between danger and his children. Y'all believe that? A father will step in between danger and his children. You won't get to the children without getting through the father. And I've seen that. Patty and I watch a lot of Christian movies, and we watched one where this father, he wasn't their father, but he was going to marry a woman who had children. So he was spending time with these children trying to get their approval to allow him to marry their mom. You know what that goes through? That happens a lot, don't it? And they encountered an issue where they were in the wilderness, their plane went down, and this man was with these two children, and there come some wolves. And a single individual with no weapon of any kind can't handle a wolf, if you know what a wolf is. And this man steps in between those children and that wolf just because he was stepping in between the danger and what was taking place. And that's exactly what takes place here. No one's going to touch this individual. If anyone in the village had started throwing a stone at this child or this individual, they would have never hit this son. Every stone would have hit the father because he had his arms wrapped around his son and he was protecting him. That's where the two characteristics we talked about, the love and the protection of the father. Not one stone would have hit him. That's a father's love and protection that he has for his children. Now, you look at it, that's the same picture that Jesus had for us when he was on the cross. Even though Christ's arms were stretched out wide, even though he was nailed to the cross that he couldn't move his hands, even though he was there, his arms were wrapped around you and they were wrapped around me. He was wrapped around them so that loving on us so that we would not feel the wrath of God. He was taking on all that issue so that we would not feel the punishment for sin. He wanted to take it for us. He had his arms wrapped around us. When you look at this thing, everything this guy wanted, everything the son wanted to find out, the easy life, everything he wanted in clothing and jewelry, everything he wanted in luxury issues, he found when he came back home through the love of his father. It wasn't out in the flesh world. He came back to his senses and he came back to see. So what makes the difference? You look at what he did in the beginning. He said, Father, give me. Give me what's mine. That's what he said in the beginning. And in the end, he says, Father, make me. Change me to maybe just allow me to be one of your servants. He was willing to be a servant, and we know that the father's reply was this. The dad, you think about it, he said, Lord, Father, just make me one of your servants. And you would think the dad could have said, okay, you've disgraced your family. You disgraced our name. You've disrespected me. You went off and blown half of my the inheritance that I was left for you. All this, he didn't say, okay, now, if you'll do this, this, and this, we'll let you back in the family. If you'll check these boxes, if you'll work through this issue, if you'll work for the next 6 years as a servant, then we'll let you back in. It's not what he said. He didn't say, okay, you got all these things to do. That's not what he said at all. The father did not ask him to earn his forgiveness because no amount of good works was going to save him from his sins. God doesn't ask us to work for our forgiveness. All he asks us to do is ask for it. Amen? We don't have to do anything to gain it. We just have to ask for it. In a country, this prodigal son had learned the meaning of misery. Let me tell you something. Living by the flesh produces misery. I can tell you that. You might not believe that to start with. But living by the flesh, he learned misery. He experienced the meaning of struggle and hardship. But back home, he saw the love of the father, and he discovered the meaning of mercy and the true meaning of a father's love. Verse 22, but the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. Let me tell you something. I'm going to break that verse of scripture down. Because I want you to understand exactly what the parable is insinuating. What Jesus is trying to tell us. The ring was a sign of sonship. It was a sign that he was back into the family, that he was part of the family, that he was the father's son. It carried authority with the family, and it meant he was a member of the family. The best robe belonged to the dad. The best robe belonged to the father. It wasn't anybody else's robe. The best robe in that house belonged to the father. And he said, put it on my son. It's a sign of acceptance back into the family. Servants did not wear rings. They did not wear shoes. They did not wear expensive garments. Only members of the family wore these kind of things. And it was quick that he was back in the family. And you look at this. The feast of the father's way of showing his joy that his son had returned home. He was now sharing his joy with his family and with the people of the village. Had his son been dealt with according to what the Old Testament scripture said, they would have been at a funeral and not a feast. It would have been completely different. But because of God's love and because of his father's love, it's covered this son. Psalm 103, 10:14 says this. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You think about it. He's cast them as far as the east is from the west. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of. Remember that we are just dust. We're human beings. We're just dust. He created us. We have his free will, and we make mistakes. It's interesting to consider this father's description of the son's experience. When we look at this, he was dead and he's now alive. He was lost and he was now found. Sounds like a good song for like Amazing Grace, don't it? Yes? Amen. All right. This is a spiritual experience of every lost sinner who comes to the Heavenly Father. Now let's take a look at some similarities between the prodigal son coming to his earthly father and our coming to our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. The son was lost, and Jesus says, I am the way. When you're lost, Jesus says, I am the way. The son was ignorant. Jesus said, I am the truth. And Jesus provides truth. He said, the son was dead. Jesus says, I am the life, and I'm the life giver. Amen. Amen. There's only one way to come to the Father, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I begin this message this morning talking about the characteristics of an earthly father. And I want to share with you 9 different things for you to remember that describe our Heavenly Father, who is the gold standard of fatherhood. He's the one we should be patterning our life around. Number one, God is a perfect father. He's a perfect father. Now, let me tell you something. There's no way we can be a perfect father. There's no way we had a perfect father. They all have mistakes, but God, Heavenly Father, is a perfect father. Number two, he never leaves us. God the Father never walks out on his children. Even we tend to walk out on him. He holds our hand tight, even though we want to let it go sometimes. He never leaves us. Number three, he forgives us when we let him down. He forgives us when we walk away from him. Number four, he disciplines us because he loves us, and that's why he disciplines us. Number five, he speaks to us every day. When we get into his word, he's wanting to talk to us. He's there for us. He's ready to talk with us, and he will share his knowledge with us. All we got to do is stay in his word. He wants to meet us right where we are, exactly where we are. Number six, he's always available. He never rests. He never slumbers. You call his name, you call upon him, and he's there for you 24/7. He even comes seeking us when we're running away from him. Number seven, he's pleased to be our father. He loves us more than you can imagine. God's love is unconditional. He loves us more than you can even think about, more than you can imagine. There's nothing you can do to stop him from loving you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore because his love is unconditional. He gives us earthly fathers. And every one of us has got a father. Let me tell you something. I know that some fathers may not have been the ideal father, but every one of us has a father, and we didn't get here without a father. Number nine, he allows us to be somebody's father, whether it's biological, whether it's stand-in, whether it's filling the gap. He allows us to be somebody's father because there's somebody that you could be investing in as a dad that needs you. There's a contemporary Christian song that I've listened to over the years, and he says, he is a good, good father. It's who he is, and we're loved by him. My question to you this morning, how long will you keep wandering before you return to the Father? Friend, I want to tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're wandering without hope. He's watching for your return. He's looking over the horizon, however you want to look at it, and he'll run to meet you. All you have to do is take the first step toward him, and he'll meet you right where you are. Friends, I'm going to just tell you, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He loves us beyond condition. He's offered heaven as a free gift. It's not something we've earned. We don't deserve it. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve separation from God, but God didn't have it that way. He didn't want it that way, and he provided an alternative for us as a result of that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Ephesians 2:8 says this, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Man is a sinner. We were born with a sinful nature. We inherited sin as a result of what happened at the fall of man, as a result of what happened in the Garden of Eden. We inherited that. No way around it. Only Jesus Christ is the only one without sin. We need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin creates a separation between us and God. We can't get to God. He can't get to us. It's a barrier. It's a blockage. It's a roadblock. But God provided a way. He sent Jesus Christ to solve that problem, to be the perfect sacrifice for us. Romans 10:13 says this, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever means anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've been, what you've done. It says in the Bible, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon him, he'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. When our time is over, friends, I tell you this every week because it's so critical to me and it has a lot of value to me. But when our time on this earth is over, we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. We're either going to spend eternity separated from God, or we're going to spend eternity in his presence. And eternity is too long to be long. Perhaps today you want to make sure and know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Romans 10:9 says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It's just that simple. He didn't make it complicated. He didn't make it hard. He didn't make it difficult. He didn't say there's certain classes you got to attend. There's certain boxes you got to check off. There's certain amount of church services you got to attend. You got to make sure you're in Sunday school or Sunday night services or Wednesdays. That ain't what he said. What he said is, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. If you don't know this Jesus, I'd love to talk to you more about him. You can turn it all over to him this morning. You can be a new creation. You can be born again and be a believer in Jesus Christ and be a follower of Jesus. And you can make sure that your eternal destination is set simply by inviting him into your heart, making him the Lord of your life. Maybe there's others. It's an invitation and a time set aside for you. Man, it's just, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter what other people are thinking or acting. You know, this time is when the Holy Spirit comes upon our services and he wants to talk with you. He wants to share with you. He wants to listen to you. Whatever it is, you share it with him. Our altar is open. If you want to come to the altar and lay something at the foot of the cross, you certainly come on down. Our deacons are here. They love to pray with you. Whatever you need, this time is set aside for you. Whatever the Holy Spirit is inviting you to do, that's what you should do. Father God, I come before you this morning. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the power that's in your word. God, I just thank you for how you stand by your promises and how much you love us. And God, just thank you for the love of the Father. God, just thank you for the love that you show us each and every day. And Father, I pray if there's one person in the sound of my voice that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that this day would be the day that they would come to know you. Father, for others in our congregation, God, as struggle is relevant as it is, and difficulty is present in our lives, God, just pray that you would move among us. Let us feel your presence like never before. Father, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would just overpower this sanctuary, and God, we would know you are God. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.